As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10, place your first bet on any game, and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.
The Athletic.
The only way to score is, of course, to play with a handbrake off.
Hello, I'm Ian Stone. This is Handbrake Off, the Arsenal podcast brought to you by The Athletic. It's Thursday. We're going to look ahead to West Ham on Sunday. I'm joined by James McNicholas and Art DeRoche. Morning.
Morning.
Morning, Ian.
Morning. Before we start, right, we had a little chat on Monday about the celebration police. James, I know you've got quite strong views about this, and we'll get to them. Art, anything to add to the celebration police chat we had the other day? I mean, the general vibe, just if you didn't hear it, was just leave us alone. Life is shit enough, right, without you stopping us celebrating when we win football matches, particularly big football matches. That was the generally held view.
Yeah.
Anything to add to that?
Not too much, other than the fact that this has actually been going on for a couple of years now. It's getting a bit boring.
But is it us? Is it us that they're going on about? Because I saw a little montage of Roberto De Zerbi running on the pitch and celebrating with the Brighton fans. And obviously we've seen Jurgen Klopp doing it. We've seen Mourinho knee sliding down a touchline years ago. It just feels like we're getting it a bit more.
Yeah, it does feel that way. But being totally honest, I'm starting to tune out of that whole discussion anyway. So, yeah, I'm not too concerned about it anymore just because I don't think it matters that much.
You know what? He makes a fair point. James, can I just introduce our special guest, Chris Sutton, now? Anybody who doesn't understand that, well, look at the internet. It's all out there. James, we know your views. I mean, and we've spoken about them on this podcast. It is basically fair. Just let us be. Let us enjoy our football, right?
Yeah, I think so. I think so. You know, if there's any joy in the world, I just think that's a great thing.
Yes.
Why trample on it, you know?
Yes, I think that's fair enough. I mean, having said this, right, if Martin Ødegaard was to score on Sunday, how should he celebrate? James, obviously, it was a whole thing about the taking photos. And by the way, Arsenal, are on the official Arsenal website this morning, there's a montage, 31 pictures of Arsenal players down the years taking photos from the 1930s to the present day. So it's not like a new thing. And I'm glad the club have done it because they obviously read this stuff as well and think, oh, stop it. So how should Martin Ødegaard celebrate if he scores on Sunday?
You're right about that piece on the site. He's just honouring a club tradition. And as club captain, I think that's appropriate. But how should he celebrate? Straight down the tunnel. That's what they wanted, isn't it? That's what Jamie Carragher asked for. Straight down the tunnel.
Even if there's still time left in the game.
Oh, yeah. No, just run off down the tunnel as soon as he's put it in the back of the net. Almost certainly you'll get a yellow card for it, but it'd be very funny.
Yeah, I think it would be funny and also slightly weird as well. Where's he going? What's up? Oh, well. What about you, Art? What do you think? Celebration for Martin Ødegaard if he scores on Sunday?
My thoughts went a similar way at first. I just thought show absolutely no emotion, just go straight back to the halfway line and restart. But then I remembered his celebration after scoring against Everton last season where he did this weird dance and we haven't seen it since and I want to see it again. So I'd say that one.
You're nodding, James. I'm never keen on dances after after a goal score. In the same way, that thing when they put their thumb in their mouth because they've just had a, you know, the missus just had a baby. I thought, stop it. It's ridiculous. Shake hands, go back to the centre circle, get on with it. I think that seems to be the general feeling. I think you should jump in the crowd and crowd surf for about 10 minutes. Anyway, while we're talking about Martin Odegaard, you know he's created more chances from open play than any other player in Europe's top five leagues this season. So however he celebrates, it hasn't affected his football that much, Mr. Carragher and whoever else is complaining about it. 43 chances. Before we get into today, we've had some correspondence from John Sills to Jay's, written to Jay. Hello, Jay. I'm attempting to find 22 childhood pen pals from around the world. He said he wrote to the Arsenal magazine to list his details in their pen pal section. Anyone under 40, by the way, a pen pal was like you'd write to someone and they'd write back to you by mail. Yeah. I feel I'm making it more difficult coming up with all these different concepts that no longer or will soon no longer exist. Anyway, as the magazine made its way around the world, I received 22 replies. Isn't that cool? All 22 got back to him from Germany, wow. Ghana, Antwerp and Zimbabwe. Anyway, he essentially said he didn't reply to any of them. I mean, that is ridiculous, isn't it, after all that? Anyway, in 2022, his mum passed away and he found all 22 letters in the loft. And the guilt took hold and I thought, what if I tried to track them all down? So that's what I'm doing. Armed with only their names and addresses from 25 years ago, I'm trying to find these shamefully spurned supporters. And he's up to six so far, including two Ghanaians and a chap in Zimbabwe. I actually met Kwaku from Ghana. He came to England and I got him a ticket for Arsenal v Spurs, his first ever Arsenal match. It feels like a real-life Panini sticker album challenge. Any help would be much appreciated. Come on, you Gunners. John. Thanks for writing in, John. Best of luck. The full list of names that John is looking for, you can head over to his website, johnjsills.com, where you can find an Overland and Sea page. And we'll put the link in today's episode description. I mean, we talk about a Gooner family, don't we, James? There is something in that, although obviously he's shamefully ignored his family for quite some time, hasn't he?
Yeah, I think so. But he's trying to reconnect with them now, and it's pretty amazing. I think he's already tracked down half a dozen of them. Best of luck with it, John. It sounds like quite the endeavour, but hopefully we can help you find a few more.
Listen, if anyone's listening out there going, John Sills, he ignored me. I'm never speaking to him again. Maybe step back from that rage that you felt for years for John never getting old here.
Forget.
Exactly. We're all Arsenal, right? West Ham away on Sunday. Like last season, it's after playing Liverpool. Last season was after playing Liverpool away when we gave away a two-goal lead. And that's what we did at West Ham as well last season. Do you know, by the way, Jay, our producer, had written, we all know what happened last year. I'd forgotten what happened last year.
I had to remember as well. I had to rack my brains.
I had to look it up because I thought I must have just chopped that one out of my head. I thought, I can't think about that again. Yeah, we were 2-0 up and cruising like it was some sort of training ground game. And then Thomas Partey made a mistake, didn't he? He got caught in possession. They scored and then it all went a bit weird. And then Bukayo missed a penalty, didn't he?
Yeah.
That's just come back to me as well. I mean, Sunday is a test of how far we've come, isn't it, really? Especially after getting the result against Liverpool. If the margins feel so tight now, we have to get a win there, don't we?
Yeah, I think the result against Liverpool is nice, but you always have to back it up the week after. So that's what this is now. What I kind of find interesting is not just Liverpool, but also finally getting a win away at Nottingham Forest as well. It's kind of checking off the list from last year where you dropped points, actually picking them up this term. So hopefully that trend can continue at West Ham, especially considering Arsenal have lost to them twice already this season. So hopefully the momentum that has been built over the last, I think it's three league games this calendar year, can continue into Sunday as well.
James, last season is coming back to me now. I mean, I don't think I've ever seen such a one-sided first 30 minutes in my life. I mean, in a Premier League game, they couldn't get near us. They could not get near us. And then suddenly we ended up drawing 2-2. And then we got really quite badly beaten in the League Cup this year. Not an easy ground for us.
No, and actually our last three games against West Ham have got quite painful memories for me, because obviously there's the league game last season we're talking about with Saka's missed penalty and then pegging us back to 2-2. The League Cup game, which was not pleasant either. Declan Rice, not an ideal return to that stadium for him. And then the home game against them where, you know, again, we were dominant but managed to lose. So they've been, you know, historically Arsenal have a really good record against West Ham, but just of late, it's been a little bit trickier. So I'd love to put that right this weekend. And I think we need to. Liverpool and City both have quite winnable looking home games, you would say. So I think it's really important that we kind of build on what we did against Jurgen Klopp's team.
And you correctly predicted in the Liverpool preview that that would be a game for Jorginho. He played brilliantly against Liverpool. Would he stay in the side for West Ham? Or is it, or are West Ham too small an opponent for Jorginho? He tends to play in the massive, massive games. But they all are now. Would you have him in the team?
That's a really good question, you know, actually. And I don't think it's straightforward. And I'm a big advocate for Jorginho, as you know, and said I thought he should play against Liverpool. But that is a different game. And West Ham, thinking about our previous encounters against them, you know, they have tended to sit in a bit deeper and look to hit us on the break. Maybe a Smith Rowe or a Havertz might be the right choice. You know, you think about the Nottingham Forest game, and Smith Rowe played and did well. So I wouldn't say it's a given that Jorginho will play this one. What do you think, Art?
Yeah, I'm kind of a similar train of thought where I coming into Liverpool, I wasn't really sure who was going to start, just because, as you mentioned, Arteta has gone with a very kind of specific attack or plan of attack for those big games with Declan Rice and Jorginho in midfield, almost just helping suffocate teams with Havertz up top. But for these games, and I'm not saying West Ham are small, but you'd expect Arsenal to have more of the ball. I'd like to see someone who can actually run with the ball a bit more. So I'd be tempted to go with Smith Rowe, just because you gave him a chance against Nottingham Forest. He did fairly well. Not amazing, but fairly well. It'd be nice if he actually got a run of games to maybe show what he can do on a more consistent basis. But I'd say either him or Havertz would make sense.
It is, you know, it is a difficult one when I really start thinking about it, because, I mean, he was man of the match, I felt, against Liverpool. He played absolutely brilliantly. But it wasn't just his defensive and calming qualities. He played some really incisive through balls as well. I'm not sure the other players we're talking about can do what he can do.
Yeah, and also, I mean, one of the other options in midfield would be Havertz. Is that really an option? Because is Gabriel Jesus going to be available? Do you need Havertz up top? I think the availability of Zinchenko affects the decision as well.
Yes.
I think if you don't have Zinchenko, then maybe Jorginho's passing from deep has a greater value in the build-up of the team. So I almost feel like, you know, the fitness decisions on several other players might inform what Arteta does with the midfield. But I guess it's nice for him to have options.
And I'm assuming we're going to extend his contract, Jorginho. I mean, if you had to pick one between Thomas Partey and him at the moment, you'd pick him, wouldn't you?
Yeah, if he's willing, I guess. That's the big question. I don't think anyone at Arsenal would be having any second thoughts about extending. He's really exceeded expectations in his first year.
It's about game time, isn't it, for him?
Yeah, and I guess also just how big a role does he feel he's actually having now as well? Because, as you said, he's not playing that often, but when he does play, he does extremely well.
The other interesting one is Gabriel Martinelli or Leandro Trossard. Art, you wrote a piece last week asking whether Mikel should pick one or the other. They both scored against Liverpool. Who are you starting on Sunday?
Martinelli. I feel like what's working in his favour is Arsenal moving the ball much more quickly in the past few weeks than they were in the first half of the season. So hopefully that should lead to him getting a bit more space and time in the final third. But that's not to, I guess, slight Trossard. Obviously, he came on and scored against Liverpool and scored against Palace when he started.
And calmed everything down against Nottingham Forest at 2-1 as well.
Yeah, exactly. So I think also he's actually ranked third all-time Premier League for Arsenal in terms of goal involvements per 90 minutes.
Leo Trossard.
Trossard. I think every 99 minutes he's involved in a goal.
Wow.
That's a great stat. That's a great stat. Adrian, I'll tell Adrian because he'll love a stat like that. It's absolutely brilliant. I don't know, James. I'd go with Art's suggestion, start Gabriel Martinelli, but what a great sub to have Leo Trossard to come on if we need him.
Yeah, and not all players are able to do that, you know, to immediately take the temperature of a game and find a way into it. And I think more often than not, he does. He's so productive in the final third. I think he's one of the better finishers at the club. Like, if I was having a chance drop to somebody in this team, he'd be really high on that list for me.
On either foot, actually.
On either foot, yeah. But I do think Martinelli unlocks something else in the team. And Art wrote a good piece, actually, that's on The Athletic today about David Raya's distribution improving of late and Arsenal launching more kind of quick counter-attacks. And I think Martinelli's the key for that and always has been, you know, even when it was Aaron Ramsdale in goal, whenever the goalkeeper looks up, goal. The guy who's haring into the distance is Martinelli.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, I'm pleased that Arsenal are bringing that into their game because we've seen how difficult it is for them when they're playing against these deep set blocks, when defences are set. We need to try and transition quickly so we can attack into space. And there's no one really better at that than Martinelli.
No. And before we take a break, a word for Declan Rice as well. Also a stunning performance against Liverpool, James. But he's not had a good time against West Ham this season. So we're looking for a winning goal and maybe kiss the badge or something like that in front of the fans who used to adore him.
Yeah, well, he got booed, didn't he, in the Carabao game.
He was getting some stick, actually.
It'll be the same this weekend. I mean, West Ham fans didn't want him to go to Arsenal because it's a London club. They all wanted him to go to City and, you know, win a load of silverware at a club where, you know, it didn't really bother them. But him staying in London, I think, upset West Ham. So, yeah, I'm sure he'll get plenty of stick. And let's hope he responds to it in the right way. It's a big game for him. He'll be playing from the start, you'd imagine. Obviously came on as a sub in the Carabao game. And he'll be desperate to get that first win against his former team.
This is Handbreak Off, the Arsenal podcast, brought to you by The Athletic.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
This episode is brought to you by Michelob Ultra, the official beer sponsor of the NBA. Want to get closer to the game than ever before? Michelob Ultra Courtside is giving fans the chance to win exclusive NBA prizes and experiences like official gear, courtside seats to an NBA game, and more. Head over to MichelobUltra.com/courtside to learn more.
Customers are rushing to your store. Do you have a point of sale system you can trust, or is it a real POS? You need Shopify for retail. Shopify POS is your command center for your retail store. From accepting payments to managing inventory, Shopify has everything you need to sell in person. With Shopify, you get a powerhouse selling partner that effortlessly unites your in-person and online sales into the one source of truth. Track every sale across your business in one place and know exactly what's in stock. Connect with customers in line and online. Shopify helps you drive store traffic with plug-and-play tools built for marketing campaigns from TikTok to Instagram and beyond. Get hardware that fits your business. Take payments by smartphone, transform your tablet into a point-of-sale system, or use Shopify's POS Go mobile device for a battle-tested solution. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Do retail right with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/theathletic, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/theathletic to take your retail business to the next level today. shopify.com/theathletic.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
They get a handbrake off and you can see that they are more free to play.
Ian Stone, Art de Roche and James McNicholas here on the Athletic's Arsenal podcast, Handbrake Off.
And what do you want to achieve at Arsenal?
Everything.
Well, is Tomiyasu going to get there? Yes is the answer. He emphatically shut the door.
It's a place that I think everybody loves in there. He's always the first, he's always the last. You tell him to do something and he will give his life for it.
It's Leicester, the number five. It's Tomiyasu. On his 50th Premier League appearance, he has his first Arsenal goal.
All the boys, we love Tomiyasu. He's such a great guy, so we're happy for him.
Takahiro Tomiyasu should be back in the squad on Sunday after Japan were eliminated from the Asia Cup. We saw how much danger Kudus causes other teams, and he gave Zinchenko a hard time. Is Tommy going to start? I mean, obviously, we don't know about Zinchenko's fitness. He came off at half-time in the game against Liverpool.
Yeah, to be fair to Zinchenko, actually, I thought he did very well defensively in the first half against Liverpool. But if he's not fit, you'd hope that Tomiyasu is available and ready, because he is just such a more natural defender, whether it is off the left or the right side. I remember in his first season in the game against West Ham at the London Stadium, he was ridiculous, really, because the way he uses his body is quite different to the other fullbacks, I feel. He actually uses it to get in between man and ball rather than backing off and backing off and backing off. So yeah, I'd like to see him, if he is fit and ready to start. Obviously played, I think, most of the games for Japan in the Asian Cup. But yeah, now hopefully back for Arsenal, which I think could be a real game changer going into the rest of the season.
I mean, James, last year we lost William Saliba for the last, whatever it was, 7-8 games. And that seemed to take a lot of the attention. But losing Tommy was also a massive blow, wasn't it?
Yeah, it compounded it, didn't it? It was both at the same time. And actually losing him when we did, you know, just before Christmas was a blow as well. He'd kind of played his way into the team at that point in time. You usually forget now, but he was in really terrific form. So I have to confess, I didn't see much of him at the Asia Cup. I hope he's coming back in a similar vein of form, because he was really performing well, particularly, well, to be honest, in either fullback positions. I was going to say particularly right back, but he was as good on the left as well.
But he can play all four, can't he? He can play all four defensive
He can play
positions.
Anywhere. And that's so valuable, makes him so useful. But I think he would be a good player to start this game. If he's ready, I'd like to see him.
And Art, you recently reported Tommy's close to agreeing a new deal at the club, and that is excellent news, I feel. In a similar position, Jurrien Timber has been added to the Champions League squad. Now, I don't want to get into all the speculation at this point about when's he going to be back, because I have no idea when he's going to be back. I'd like it to be March. I'd like it to be February, but let's be realistic. I'd like it to be March. But obviously there must be some expectation from the hierarchy that he could help us in the Champions League quarter final onwards.
Yeah, I've heard a few different things, I'm sure James has as well, which makes speculating a bit, I guess, worthless at the minute.
Well, what have you heard? What have you heard?
I'd rather not say.
can't tease people like that.
No, it's really not worth it mentioning. But in terms of the back end of the season, you'd hope that he is an option, because I personally think fullback's probably one of the most important positions in a Mikel Arteta team, and you saw the different dimension he was able to provide from left back in particular in pre-season. So if you're able to add that to the mix when teams haven't really had a chance to prepare for it, then it could be even more dangerous for Arsenal going into those games if they make it to those stages of the Champions League, which they really should be doing.
Well, quiet. James, what have you heard that you don't want to share with us?
Well, to be honest, conflicting things, you know, and that's why it gets tricky, because, you know, there's some conflicting information out there and has been about Jurrien Timber's timeline. I think that, you know, we can read something into him being selected in the squad. But I think, to be honest, they would have selected him in the squad even if, you know, it only gave him a chance for the final. I think that's how highly they rate him and how important Arteta thinks he can be to the way Arsenal play. I think we... Listen, my opinion is I think we will see him this season. And I'm really looking forward to seeing him again because he was so fantastic in pre-season. I was so excited about the signing in the first place because I thought he was just such a natural fit for this team. And what happened in pre-season really bore that out. So, yeah, look, I can't wait. And I bet he can't wait either. You know, it's obviously been a really tough period for him. And I think this isn't why they've done it, but what a boost it will be for him personally to see himself included in that squad and think, come on, I'm getting closer now. I've got a chance. He'll be absolutely chomping at the bit.
Just on that as well, he's not kind of hidden away during his, I guess, ACL recovery. At the Crystal Palace game, I was in the mix zone. That was when I actually spoke to Raya for that piece. And then he came down the lift. So he's been in and around it. He's definitely someone who's felt involved, I think, but having that crystallized in being actually mentioned in a squad, I think would be a big boost for him personally.
Quite. Before we go, just a quick chat about William Saliba. We got a stat courtesy of Harvey Downs. William Saliba has won 36 matches in his first 50 league starts for the Arsenal, more than any other player in the club's history. James, I mean, I think it was generally accepted that it was probably mainly his error against Liverpool at the weekend. And even that, to me, came from a good place because he was trying to play football, wasn't he? He didn't want to just boot it into the stands because he's not that guy. But he's been immense for us, hasn't he? And obviously, you were a huge advocate. You were giving us, you know, Saliba updates for like 2 years before he turned up at the club anyway. So I know how much you love this player. But, I mean, he's surpassed expectations, hasn't he, really?
Yeah. He's going to be a good defender when he grows up, that's for sure.
It's true.
Yeah, he's remarkable, really. And, you know, it's funny. You see that error that he made against Liverpool and... You know, some of the commentary said, well, you know, that's what a 22-year-old centre-half might do from time to time. And you're like, oh, yeah, he's still only 22. And we so rarely say it about him. I just think he's got all the tools to go on. And he played against Virgil van Dijk, you know, the other day, and they actually both made mistakes. But I think he's got all the potential in the world to emulate what van Dijk's done. And just very, very happy about him signing that contract last season.
Let's have a song to finish. Art, what you got?
I'm going to go for Grind by Cochise.
Blimey.
No, just because it feels like, okay, get Liverpool out of the way. Very nice, very enjoyable. But now you actually have to start putting some wins together.
James, what you got?
Yeah, just was thinking about Martin Odegaard and his photography. So I went for Kodachrome by Paul Simon.
Okay, and I went for Picture This by Blondie. And
there you
exactly
go.
The same theme. That's it for this edition of Handbrake Off. Thanks to Art de Roche, thanks to James McNicholas, and thanks to Jay, our producer. And enjoy yourselves Sunday, and we'll see you next week. Ta-da.